Jackson. I'm going to repeat that. 37 and a quarter.
Hurry for the lead.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to an all-new Dubs Talk presented by Wendy's. Right now at Wendy's, get two breakfast sandwiches for just $4. That sounds delicious. I'm Grant Lifman alongside Kendra Andrews. It's time we start talking about the draft, Kendra.
It is, but before we do, Grant, I have to ask you about something. I was scrolling through Twitter earlier today, as I do, as I'm sure you do too. And I know that you were on Twitter today because something that caught my eye, you had a very succinct, quick tweet. It was one word, four letters, N-O-P-E, nope. It was regards to a trade rumor about the Warriors being interested in Colin Sexton. Can you elaborate before we jump into this trade talk? Elaborate on that nope for us.
You don't want me just to say nope again? You don't, that's not what you're looking for?
I want to know the meaning about the nope. That's well, someone, what I'm interested in.
I just looked at it and someone asked a good question. Are you saying nope for yourself or are you saying nope for the Warriors? So this is the definition of the nope. So just to be clear what we're talking about here, a rumor came out today. I think it was a tweet from Evan Demerol, I believe the name was. He's from he does a Cavs blog. It looks through SB Nation, does some Locked On Cavs. And he had heard, apparently, that the Warriors could be intrigued, I think was the word, by Colin Sexton, and that they wouldn't part with Wiseman or the number 7 pick for it if it were to come into fruition. Okay, there's 1,000 reasons why it's nope. And I'll just start with this one. I truly, in my heart of hearts, do not think the Warriors are intrigued by him. And it is just a situation in which he just doesn't fit what the Warriors are looking for right now in multiple reasons. He's a young, feisty player. He puts up points. His shooting percentages got higher. He can get buckets. However, he is a ball stopper. He is somebody who needs the ball in his hands. He's been a starter for this last stretch. So if he's going to be on the Warriors, he definitely wouldn't start next to Steph Curry because he doesn't pass. So he'd be in the second unit, but Jordan Poole's there right now and they want to be Jordan Poole, the ball in his hands. Not only that, Colin Sexton is also on the last year of a deal before he has the ability to sign a very, very big deal. So it'd be a 1-year rental pretty much for a guy that doesn't necessarily fit their system. And if there's a quintessential type of player that does not work with what Steve Kerr wants to do, I think the exhibit A would be Colin Sexton. And I'm actually not trying to be mean to him. It's just the style of play is just not the same. And so for 1,000 reasons, nope. And also I think the Cavs would want something better than what the Warriors would give them. And there's just, yeah, it's nope.
Well, thank you for explaining that. And that makes sense. And it's not an insult to him as a player to say he wouldn't fit with the Warriors, because just a couple days ago, we were talking about how I don't think that Damian Lillard would fit well with the Warriors. And I'm clearly not knocking anything that he does. So it's a good distinction between appreciating how someone plays yet not believing that it wouldn't benefit either side for what they're trying to do. So your nope makes sense. So thank you for elaborating.
I'll put it this way. Damian Lillard would fit 1,000 times better than Colin Sexton. And yes. I compare the two. I would say Damian Lillard is meant for the Warriors and being next to Steph Curry and everything. So it's just nope. And again, it's interesting because you wonder where you hear a rumor like that. And probably what happened was maybe there was a rumor that the Warriors called the Cavs. And, you know, I'm not saying Evan's wrong about maybe some discussions happened somewhere along the way. But I will say that whoever that source is that said the Warriors are intrigued by Colin Sexton, I have sincere doubts. But again, as we've always said, I've been wrong before, Kendra. So, you know, just got to put that caveat out there because in this day and age, it's like, you're an idiot. Anyway, so let's talk draft. Everyone's been discussing the idea of trading the picks, Kendra. That's kind of where everyone's stopping right now. They say the Warriors are trying to trade 7 and 14 for veterans. I mean, to in your mind, I'm not going to say give a percentage of what's the chances, but do you think that's the route that they're like ultimately going to go?
I mean, it's hard to say ultimately. I really do think it just depends on what they could get or what people are willing to give them in return for those picks, in addition to what else they would have to give. If they're really going after a bigger named veteran free agent, are those two picks going to be enough? Are they willing to put Andrew Wiggins in the package? I personally don't really think that they should trade Andrew Wiggins unless it's for someone who is, you know, loads better and can impact this team way better than Andrew Wiggins can, which after his performance last season, it seems like he does have a positive effect on this team. So it's hard for me to necessarily give a percentage or say that's what they should do. I do think that people are leaning maybe a little bit too much into the idea of them trading, or just not maybe taking a step back to look at the possibilities of what they could do with these picks in the draft. You know, we haven't heard, there have been casual conversations of, well, this guy might be available at 7 or this guy at 14. They could be good fits, but I think people have really written off the idea of them using these picks for themselves.
Yeah, I think mock drafts, you know, that obviously you're going to keep them because you're not going to just presume a trade. But I do think a lot of people just assume the Warriors are going to make a move. And it's not that they are, you know, wrong, because the Warriors are absolutely being aggressive out there. But as you quickly mentioned, and just in general, you're not just shopping 7 and 14, because the minute you do that, the limit in which you can pretty much mix and match salaries at that point is you add 7 and 14. If you draft the player for another team and then sign those players, you're talking about, let's say, $9 million, $8 million going out. What player are you trying to get at $8 million for that? So my point is that it's 7, 14, and other pieces. What are those pieces? Is it James Wiseman? Then you're talking to like your whole future. So you're packaging that. Who are you getting? It better be a star. If you're packaging Andrew Wiggins, as you said, then you better be getting a star. So that's the type of thing that it's easy to say, oh, they're just trying to get out of the draft. But to get out of the draft, I mean, to me, it makes more sense if they traded 7 and something else for a few veterans and maybe a pick further back, right? So then they still have picks, but they're acquiring a veteran or two veterans on the along the way. But the minute you start talking bigger names or veterans that really can impact the team, there is more stuff happening. And that's why it's just why we get to focus just on the draft right here. Because at the end of the day, the chances of a real star being available and materializing is just, it's not as great as people assume.
And you have to look at the teams that have the stars that the Warriors might want to be targeting and ask, well, what the, again, Grant, we always mention, well, what's in it for the other team? What direction is the other franchise heading in? Because if this franchise has a really good veteran player, they might also be looking to win now. So what's to say that they're going to want either two draft picks or James Wiseman, who needs a lot more development? There's a lot of nuances. It makes it very hard to say this is exactly what they're going to do. And there are some good prospects in this draft who could help the Warriors. It's not necessarily going to be, well, clearly wouldn't be a veteran player, but there are people who could, you know, at least just help take steps forward, but clearly in a different way than someone with lots and lots of NBA experience would.
Yeah. Yeah. The players that everyone's thinking of, these rumored players, either they're probably on teams that might think they have a shot in the playoffs. So why would they do that? So you start have to then bring in the possibility of a three-team trade where you're bringing in a team that would want to take on the draft picks, sending a player to you and sending a player out. It's hard to, those are just hard trades to make in the NBA front offices. It's not that easy. It's incredibly complicated to do three team trades. So could they do it? Absolutely. They have plenty of time to do it, but I think we should just focus on the number 7 pick for now and say, what are we reading and what do we think? So mock drafts that are out there right now, you know, they're always developing. They're always taking on the latest intel. And a lot of them are putting James Bouknight of UConn to the Warriors, Davion Mitchell, who we discussed before, to the Warriors, I think I saw one with Franz Wagner. I saw one with Keon Johnson. So this is my opinion, and I'll just start with this. When I look at the top six before the Warriors, I think that no matter what going before the Warriors even get there are Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Evan Mobley, and Jalen Suggs. I think those four are just gone. I just do not see a situation where the Warriors can get in there, which means that with 5, 6, and 7, including the Warriors, there are three players that universally a lot of people assume might be in that top three or that next three. And that includes Kuminga, Scotty Barnes, and Booknight, right? So those are the three that a lot of people say is the next tier. I know some think Davion Mitchell. Again, I'm just, my pushback, as I said to you last time, Kendra, is while he is NBA ready, I think they probably want more of a ceiling there. It's just, and those other guys have ceilings. So of those three, Kendra,
yes,
they have, the rumors have said Scotty Barnes from Florida State is just rising up the charts, right?
Yeah.
To the point in which everyone's like, well, maybe Kuminga, Jonathan Kuminga, who has been rumored forever to be in that top five, is now slipping to six. But then, Kendra, they're saying this Booknight character from UConn is doing so well that Kuminga could even fall to seven. So let's go over those three players. What do you think of them? Let's go over those three.
Do you have a certain one that we should start with?
Here's the problem. I just don't believe Scotty Barnes is going to follow the Warriors. So we can just kind of cross him out. Not that the Warriors wouldn't take him. They would love him, but I don't see it happening. So maybe you want to go Booknight first?
Let's go Booknight first. You know, I think one thing for Booknight, obviously, is his offense, you know, very strong offensive player, and that would be really good for the Warriors. He's very fearless in the paint. He can, you know, play and score with both hands. Those are all things. And he has really good ball movement, a la Steph Curry. You know, you want someone who will move off the ball, just continue to scramble. And if the Warriors are looking to add another big scorer, which is something that we've talked about the Warriors didn't have enough supporting scoring outside of Steph Curry, that he would fit the bill for that type of player, someone who can come in and just help, you know, score points. I think on defense, he would need to improve a little bit, but if they're looking for someone who will just give them points, give them buckets, he would fit that need for them nicely.
Yeah, I completely agree. Davion Mitchell is about 6'2 in shoes. He measured a little lower. Booknight with shoes on is about 6'5. So he's more of your, not prototypical, but he's more of that shooting guard size. Mm-hmm. They have one of those type of players in Jordan Poole, the guys that can just, you know, flamethrower, just give him the ball and create. While we say what the Warriors need next season, we have to put out the caveat that hardly any rookies ever actually make that big of an impact in their first year for a contending team. Very, very rarely. So as much as we're like, well, the Warriors could use Booknight for that, I mean, chances are there's going to be other players that might be performing better, at least through the most of the season. Maybe he takes time to develop throughout the course of the season. So we have to put that out there as a disclaimer. But I do agree with you. Booknight's just instant offense. As he's just gone along through this process, he's just impressed. People were worried about his three-point percentage, Kendra. He shot 29% in college. But they looked into it, and there's many different reasons they're assuming why that's not an actual percentage that he should have been better. Shot selection, injuries, whatever it was. They look at his free throw percentage and say, this guy's a good free throw shooter. He should be a better three-point shooter. They've seen him shooting through this process. So they're looking at him and being like, this guy is the type of guy that can just put up buckets. And as you said, he gets to the rim. And that is something they just didn't have a lot of this year. You know, we talk about spreading out the ball and shooting all around. But what does that do? It helps the players that need to get to the rim, get to the rim. Booknight's one of those guys.
Absolutely. And I mean, you do bring up a good reminder to, you know, just to know that rookies don't necessarily have that instant impact. We saw that this past season with James Wiseman. And it's also important to just know that if they were to call on him for whatever reason, you know, hopefully COVID is not as big of an issue as it was this past season, as we see it taking on in the finals right now in the Olympics ahead of the games. But if that were to happen, if the Warriors go through as many injuries as they did this past season, he would be able, as you said, instant offense to at least do something, and not necessarily, of course, development would be needed, but not necessarily be a deer in the headlights out there on the court.
Completely. And he's a young guy, and he looks fearless and confident. You're right. And the biggest concern, yeah, I think, for him is you don't know what defensively, of course, that you just don't know what you're going to get from a guy defensively. He looks like he has the potential to be a good defender, but once you get in the NBA, that's when you kind of figure out things. The bigger concern for a lot of teams was his assist to turnover ratio. The Warriors needed a guy who could play make for other people, create shots for other people. They needed someone that can get to the rim and score on his own, but he also needed somebody to create. And we've talked about it. That's what they're hoping Andrew Wiggins would do a little bit more than he did. And you see spurts of it. So Bouknight is not good in that regard, at least what we've seen so far in college. Can he become that? Sure, you could, but is it actually something that they can develop and make into the future? So that is something to keep an eye on. And I think that's the difference between Bouknight being a Sherlock top five guy. If you saw the assisted turnover ratio and the way he kind of attacked and found his guys on his team a little better, I think he'd be a sure top five. But there are many rumors that saying Bouknight could go in the top six. In that case, Jonathan Kuminga could fall to the Warriors at seven. And this is a very interesting case study right here, because we have talked endlessly about win now, win now, win now. Jonathan Kuminga is one of the most raw prospects of that top category, right? The chances of him contributing next season are very, very low. However, this is me speaking here. I think it's an absolute Sherlock that you just take him if he's at seven, because his skill, the guy is about 6'7", 6'8". He's a wing. He has every athletic ability you can possibly think of. His shot looks nice. He wasn't hitting it consistently in the G League. Mind you, he went straight from high school to the G League with that new rule that they had. He didn't go to college. He played for the G League Ignite across the bay, technically in Walnut Creek, with Brian Shaw as his head coach. And he started off great, but he kind of fizzled out. And you'd see moments of just elite defense, but majority of the time inconsistency, and he would let mental lapses happen. You would see a guy who can get to the rack and just explode. But then you'd also see a guy who's just raw and not kind of figuring out the best way to get there in the quickest moves. You see a guy that all of a sudden is draining threes and his shot looks beautiful, but he also shot 25% from three overall. So he's very raw, very inconsistent. But Kendra, when you just look at what he can do, my goodness, he is like a pure like prospect of, this is the type of guy you go like, he could be an all-star if we did it right.
Right. I mean, that's what I was about to say. It's probably one of the biggest upside players in this year's draft. The potential that he has with just a little bit of time and development, it could be incredible. It's really, you get really excited thinking about what he could become. And that's when it becomes tough for the Warriors thinking about now future, now future, now future. You know, we've heard guys in these workouts say, yeah, the Warriors have told us they're in a win now mode. But as you said, Grant, if they get around to the seventh pick and someone like that with that kind of upside and that kind of potential is still on the board, you have to start scratching your head and say, okay, well, maybe it's worth it. Maybe this is actually worth it. Maybe we can find other ways to help the win now side of things and put this in our future. Because if you get James Wiseman to develop, plus you add in Kuminga, plus you continue to develop Jordan Poole and Juan Toscano Anderson, that is a very exciting future to think of. And you have to say, okay, well, if Steph continues to play as good as he's playing now, and Klay comes back and Draymond's still good, maybe we can still figure out how to win now. So yeah, if he's still on the board by the time this rolls around, the seventh pick rolls around, I think the Warriors will be scratching their heads a little bit and they'd have a hard time just saying, nope,
Right.
To quote you, wouldn't be easy to retweet nope and just move on.
You're absolutely right. I'll put it this way. They're different players, of course, but when Michael Porter Jr. fell all the way to the Nuggets, many contending teams were like, I just don't want to take the time to rehab this guy. He's not going to play anytime soon. If he does, there's injury concerns. But at the end of the day, like, he's just not going to contribute now. I bet you many of those teams wish they took Michael Porter Jr. and just bit the bullet and waited. And part of the discussion is, yes, you could try to take guys that are more NBA ready right now. But again, what are the chances a rookie actually makes a huge impact on your team the first year? And that's where you have to weigh the options. And do I think Jalen Suggs could come in and be a good NBA player? Yes, I think he's one of the most NBA ready prospects, and maybe he can just control a game and do the things you need to do. Is Kuminga as far away from that? Sure. But I don't know how many more players at seven are going to be those guys you bring in, unless it's your specific, this guy's a great shooter. You put him in the corner, he's going to make some shots. But then at seven, you're like, don't you want a higher ceiling than that?
Right. And it makes a lot of sense because a lot of the times that these or when rookies are asked to play really, really big roles, it is when these teams are in rebuilding modes and they're going to be the cornerstone, the centerpiece of their franchise in the next year or two or in that moment. And no matter who the Warriors select, that's just not going to be the case. It's Steph Curry is still their number one guy. Klay and Draymond are still their round out their big three players. The Warriors, no matter who it is, they're not going to say, this is your team now. So they do have more wiggle room to take guys that need a little bit more time to develop, even if they are in win now mode, because not everything is hanging on this rookie player. They have other guys who's they're depending a lot more on to get them back into the playoffs and another title.
Yeah. And either way, the Warriors are going to have to nail this offseason, right? They're going to have to bring in the right vets. They'll have to do the right trades. They have to do all those things. So if they can trade this pick and get what they need to do, great. Relying on these picks to be the reason you take the next jump this season is just, you're confused if you think that's going to be the way that you're going to take that leap. You could luck out and get somebody that does take that leap, but you can't just count on that. So if you take someone like a Kuminga, you have to be sure you're nailing everything else and doing it right. And that's kind of what the Warriors have to do either way. So in that case, to me, I look at a guy with incredible upside. Is he a sure thing to pan out? No. But would he play probably a lot of games in the G League? Yes. That's where he probably developed most. He's play a lot in the G League. But what about assets? What if he's destroying it? What if you now are thinking about a trade in the future and you're saying, oh, Bradley Beal just became available halfway through the season. Here's Jonathan Kuminga, who's averaging 20 points a game in the G League. Here's Wiseman. Here, you know, that's he's a real asset. So you have to kind of think about that too. Not all trades happen now. Some of the biggest stars get traded at the deadline more than they do here because teams find out, oh, wait, we suck. Now we're going to trade people. So that's, you know, again, Book Knight and Kuminga to me are just hovering around that 6-7 spot. It just, that's where it kind of is honing in on. Davion Mitchell, some people have him there. Again, I'm no draft expert, but to me, it just feels like a guy that's going to fall maybe to like 10 to 12, 13, maybe in there. I get that sense.
Yeah, there are a couple of guys in this draft who, going off of what you just said about Davion Mitchell, who if they're available at seven, I don't think the Warriors should take them. But if they're still there at 14,
yes,
after that would happen, it's like, yeah, that's the guy. And so yep. Davion Mitchell might fall under one of those things. It's, you know, seven, if Kuminga's available, Book Knight's available, might want to go there. But anyway, he's not taken by 14. Do that.
Exactly. No, it feels like so many people are, you know, it's too high to take him at seven. And then you're like, there's no way he lasts the 14. Well, you can't have too many guys because either they're being taken at seven or they are lasting the 14 because there's like 12 of those guys. And you're right. And that's what Davion Mitchell is. And that's what some of these other guys are. Another name that has come up recently a lot, Warriors fans really like, is Moses Moody. He's a 6'6" wing out of Arkansas, freshman, just raw talent, but he put up 17 points per game. He shot 35% from three, a good clip. He has a good looking three, six rebounds. For many, he's a guy that's your perfect. He could end up being a really just nice player in the league, a solid player in the league who just puts up those numbers. Some think he's limited to be that all-star, that he'll never get there, but they do consider him going to be like, he has the potential to be a really solid wing, which is something that sounds great. I mean, I've watched him, the film on him. He looks great. I truly like watching him play. Is he Harrison Barnes? Is he something else? I don't know necessarily, but he's somebody that could contribute. I don't know how soon, but potentially, you know, hit some threes, play some long defense. But at seven, I know there's some people that think maybe, I guess it's possible. I see him again, just from reading the tea leaves, is still somebody that would go low teens, maybe around there at 14. So you can consider him there more, but it's a reach at seven to go for there. Maybe they know something I don't, that it just feels like a little bit of a reach.
No, I agree with that. He's someone who I've had more in the teens of the draft, the further back part of the lottery, if he's going to be a lottery pick. Another name that I kind of had as a don't go at seven, but if he's still there at 14, is Keon Johnson. His athleticism is incredible. I think he's one of the best athletes in this draft. But when you look at his shooting and his scoring, to me, that's where it kind of falls off. He scored just 27% from three, and he never hit more than 2 3-pointers in a single game. And for me, again, the athleticism is incredible, but another raw talent who just needs a little bit more development and might not have that same upside that Kuminga does, that when you're talking about the Warriors getting a more of a project player, you want to make sure that their potential is sky high. So to me, Keon Johnson's a guy who, if he's at 14, you might have to sit there and say, okay, yeah, maybe that's a good choice. But for me, seven is too early for him.
Yeah, I'm Keon does pop up every now and then in a mock draft right there. And the jury's out, kind of, everyone's kind of oscillating between where he's landing right now, because they see the athleticism, they see the potential, but some of them know how raw he is. If they took like Kuminga and Keon Johnson, that's like the rawest two, like they are just not contributing. They're just saying, yeah, this draft is not going to help us this year. And you have to start wondering, does that, and we talked to Kirk Lakob, and Kirk said pretty much, do you change your whole draft strategy? No. But if it comes down between one guy and another, and one of them is more of a win now-ish type player, more NBA ready, maybe you have to lean that way. So would their decision change if they take a Kuminga to start, if they're like, maybe at 14, we got to be a little bit more, you know, or they somehow get somebody more NBA ready at seven, maybe you can say, maybe I take a little more project at 14.
Yeah, well, it goes back to a conversation that we had all the way back on lottery night, Grant. I think you posed the question, do you draft best available or someone to fit your needs? And you say, okay, well, first you just draft best available. And then later on is when you start to get more specific. So even within the lottery picks themselves, since the Warriors have two of them, you can say, okay, well, with seven, I'm going to take best available because we just want a really good guy. If that's a Kuminga who needs more development, okay. If that's, you know, if the best player available also happens to be a win now player, okay. And then when you get to 14, you can start being a little bit more, well, first off, there's going to be less people to choose from, but you approach each pick differently because of who's available, who you've already taken, what your specific needs are versus, you know, just overall, we want to get this player because he's going to be really good. We don't want anyone else to have him. So the thought process, I think, definitely will change as the night goes on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Trades are going to happen. Things are going to happen where you kind of might have to change your mindset. And for a team like the Warriors, they will have their draft board. They'll say, this guy's available, we want this guy, but that doesn't mean necessarily he will be the exact person they take because of what they did before that. So that you're right, there is. And keep in mind, they may be drafting people for another team at that point. They could be like, if this guy's available, we're willing to trade for this person. And then you start drafting based on that. The other guy that has come up is Franz Wagner. He's a 6'9" wing. from Michigan, brother of Mo Wagner, very different players. But as Fran Fraschilla said when he came on, he just doesn't see it at the seventh pick. If you get all the way to 14, sure, again, that's somebody you're like, oh, that's interesting. He's an advanced defensive wing. So you look at his potential there and you're like, wow, that's something we could use and potentially even maybe even use this season coming up. He only shot 34% during his year at Michigan. However, they see the way he shoots the ball and they go, wow, this guy could end up being a really good shooter in the league. He also had, you know, he had one block per game, one and a half steals per game. He did 7 rebounds. So he does a little bit of everything. He's just a smart player out there. Athleticism is part of the reason that he's, you know, maybe his ceiling isn't incredible, but he could end up being a very impactful player in the NBA and somebody that I think the Warriors would be happy with at that spot.
Right. It's so funny because there's so many guys. Like, so, well, if you fall out of the top four, if you're still there at 14.
Yeah.
Scoop him up.
you go get him. Yeah. No, you're right. And there's one, here's a name that is definitely intriguing a lot of Warriors fans, and it's Josh Giddey. And there's just too many stupid ways of being like, they're Giddey for Giddey. And I just, it's,
you're for not that pun.
For that reason, I almost hope they don't take him so we don't have to hear that crap. But no, he played in Australia. He's 6'8". He's a point guard. He kind of has that LaMelo-ish, right? We don't know if he can shoot, but he does everything. 7.5 boards, 7.5 assists. He's flashy. He does all the things. He's like a really taller Ricky Rubio in that way, you know, because you hear from the overseas guy. And he has a ton of potential. Like, he's the type of guy that the Warriors really could use. 100%. They could use him because he's somebody that can come in and handle the ball immediately. Is he going to score? Is he going to shoot well? I don't know. It's hard. You have to say no at first just because you can't assume he's going to. But you can put him in the second unit immediately and be like, hey, you pass it and you rebound a little bit.
Yeah, he's the type of guy who just really makes people around him play better. And thinking of him facilitating in that second unit, again, we talk about the Warriors needed more playmakers. They needed more ball handlers. He would be someone who could immediately impact the game that way. But as you said, in every other aspect, it's kind of a toss up right now. And is that something that are the Warriors going okay drafting a player that they know isn't going to help in those other ways? They've said with other players, again, this may be a weird comparison. I know he's not Draymond Green, but they say, well, we don't care how much Draymond scores. It's about the other things that he does. That might be okay for Giddey down the line, but coming right into it, are they okay with having it be just that specialized of a player when the specialty isn't like scoring or defense? Ball handling is extremely important. Playmaking is extremely important. But is that specialty something the Warriors are willing to hone in on, giving up the possibility of more points and more scoring?
And you know what's frustrating about it is that you can look at him at number 7 and you could take him at number 7, but then it feels like a little bit of a reach. But the problem is then you're pretty much saying we're not going to have another chance at this guy because there's a good chance he will not be there at 14. If he's there at 14, then you go, yes, absolutely, come on board. So while some players might be one where you go, maybe I wouldn't have necessarily taken him at 7, maybe I've happily taken him at 10. If you really love that player and you know he will not be there by the next time you select, maybe you do just take him, right? And you just work with it from there. So is he in play at 7? Sure. He could be. I think he is likely to be anywhere between 9 to 14 in there. So yeah, it's just, that's literally every name I just said is that pretty much.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Once you start getting to these guys who can fall out of the top 5, let's say the top 6, because we think that those first 4 players are kind of a lock, I guess once you really get past 7, we'll say,
yeah,
bring it back. One, all of those are, you know, if they weren't taken in the first 7, they're probably going to be taken within the next 3 picks before 14. And that's not to say that there won't be another good option at 14, but it's just saying that all these guys who say, well, he could fit well, or if he's still there at 14, the list is just going to get smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. So yeah, if there is a person that they say, we really want him, and he's at here at seven. He isn't pick eight. He could be gone with pick eight, depending on what that team's looking for. You might have to just take him. That's why sometimes draft picks and draft orders are a bit surprising, because there's a player who there's a general consensus that he is really good and he should have been selected. But if in that war room, they decided that no, this possible 11th pick, we actually really want him, but he won't be here for our 14. That's when things start getting crazy.
Yay. And hey, and the good news is you and I are going to be sitting there on draft night live talking to everyone. Yes. So we'll definitely
get live reactions
to it. we'll preview that coming up.
I'm waiting, Grant. If they do something, I forget, you said it today though, I forget what it was, but you said that Bob Myers would have to be crazy to do that. I want you to stand up and just yell that.
What are you doing?
Crazy!
Yeah, so it's funny, we just mentioned, you're like, maybe if they don't pick that seven, then they can be taken in the next three. Here's the amount of names we just said, and see how many might have to happen before you get to 14, okay? So let's just assume for a second, Barnes, Booknight, and Kuminga are the guys that fall in that top seven. So you just move them aside here for a second. You got Davion Mitchell, you got Moses Moody, Josh Giddey, Keon Johnson, Franz Wagner. And so that's six right there. I love Chris Duarte. Did I ever mention that before?
I have heard it. Heard that.
Yeah. Before. So let's say you just add in Duarte for the sake.
Okay.
I know for some, Kai Jones is somebody that could throw into that mix as well. Yes. There's a few other players, but just for the ones we've talked about, that's like five or six guys right now. So then you're like, all right, so 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. So that's five guys. 13 is six guys. So are those the six that are going to go before? And then, hey, your boy, Corey Kispert, We haven't mentioned him, but he could be there. And what do we like Kispert or not? So the good news is, if you like any of the names I just said, the Warriors can get one of them. They could, right? After those seven, they have the potential to get a lot of those guys. And some of those guys are people that they'd be very fortunate to get at 14. If they keep the pick, if they don't move, if they don't trade the picks. It's a lot. There's a lot of ifs. A
lot of ifs.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's fun.
It is fun.
It is fun.
Who doesn't love a good little speculation session?
Yeah,
it's fun to like set all of this up and then at the end just put a big if at the end of it. You know, you get people really excited and say, "But here are all the ways it won't happen."
Yeah. Let's not do that. We'll avoid that part. So coming up, we will obviously any more rumors that come up, you know, prospects that are working out, things that you hear that are, you know, movement, maybe new mock drafts. We will talk about that in the next pods coming up. We do want to talk about people that could be selected at 14 besides all the names we just mentioned just now. We can give some more names there. We'll mention any trade rumors that are coming up. We will discuss all that, maybe bring on some guests. I do not know yet, potentially, wink, wink. So a lot more to come. And thank you, everyone, for being with us as always. Download and follow Dubstock and all that. This is Dubstock presented by Wendy's. I'm Grant Lifman. That's Kendra Andrews. And bye.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.